Yeah, this is the last time Dishwalla did that. This is the last time that I'm ever going to give in. This is the last time I'll fall. You ever said that to yourself? I mean, it's a struggle that we all deal with. It's a place that we've all been in our lives. And it is a battle. You know, angels and devils. You know, it's a battle to honor God or live like the world. It's a battle between, following Christ or culture. But make no mistake about it, it's a battle we all go through. You know, we're continuing our series, Wild, and we've been looking at the life of Samson, his story. It's recorded in the Old Testament, Judges 13 to 18. I hope maybe you've taken some time to read through that, or through 16, my fault. But Samson was so special that angels announced his birth, and he was chosen by God to deliver Israel from the Philistines. You know, Samson, he's got this unbelievable God-given potential. He's anointed with this supernatural strength. But as we're finding out, he had a dangerously weak will. You know, angels, told his parents that they were to raise this child, that he was to be raised as a Nazarite, which Nazarite vow, some people would take it for a season, but it really had three main components. They're a little more complicated than this, but they weren't supposed to touch anything that was dead because it was considered unclean. They weren't to eat or drink anything with grapes, no alcohol, and they were to never cut their hair. And so scripture started out, it says, Samson went down to Timnah. Now, we know as we read this, it's not only a geographic location, but that word down, it actually has the idea of spinning out spiritually, going down. And it says, and there he saw a young Philistine woman. And it's there that the trouble really begins in his life. And last week we left off, Samson had broke some of his vows, in fact, several of them. And he had betrayed God by touching the carcass of a lion for a handful of honey. And then we know that he throws this party. It's to celebrate his engagement to a Philistine girl that was really off limits to him. And that relationship, because it was forbidden, because of her pagan worship. And so he possessed some attitudes. We talked about these last week, that lust was an attitude that really messed him up and made him weak. You know, I want it, I'm gonna get it. Entitlement kicked in, I deserve this. And then pride, something we can all identify with. Well, I can handle this. I'm I'll be above it, it'll be okay. And these attitudes, friends, will take you on a wild ride. And today what we're gonna see is another one of Samson's vulnerabilities. Samson was emotionally driven. And it was a serious, serious problem for him. In fact, I would argue that it's a serious problem for many of us in our lives as well. And so these attitudes can become so serious that they just mess us up. You know, you ever let your emotions get the best of you? Well, all of us deal with that to some level. And so Samson's emotionally driven, serious problem, a problem you and I have as well, right? Admit that? Emotions are God-given. Emotions are not bad. But we are not to be driven by our emotions. You know, I know some men that would say, well, I'm not emotional. You know, women are emotional, but I'm not emotional. But I want us to all be clear. We are all emotional. It just plays out differently. And I understand it's a bit of a stereotype. There's always exceptions, but generally, women process their emotions differently. You know, for instance, a woman will get upset about something, and generally they like to talk about their emotions. Men tend to not talk about them. They just act on their emotions. You know, a woman gets angry or upset, you know, they want someone to talk to, so they maybe call a girlfriend and go, "Can we go out to lunch and talk about it?" I have never in my entire life had a guy call me and go, "You know, Damon, I'm feeling a little emotional. Do you think we could have coffee or something?" I've never had it happen. I haven't. Now, I've had quite a few guys call me through the years, and they'll go, "Damon, I did something really stupid, and I'm not sure what to do at this point. Do you have time for coffee?" And I've had that happen a lot. Friends, we are all of us are emotional creatures. And let's be honest about this. I mean, how many of you will admit that you've allowed your emotions to get the best of you at some point, and you did something that you shouldn't have done? Huh? All right. Some are like, "Yes, yes, 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 yes." I always think about the Incredible Hulk when I think about emotions. I mean, Bruce Banner, you know, he'd get in a situation and someone would start pushing his buttons, and then his emotions would kick in and he'd go, "Don't make me angry." What's the rest of it? "You wouldn't like me when I'm angry," you know. His anger would just take over. You got this mild-mannered Bruce. He's got this internal battle going on. You get the sense he's trying to resist, you know. He's trying to overcome those natural tendencies in him. And then there come that point of no return, and this mild-mannered Bruce become the Incredible Hulk, the out-of-control Hulk. And finally, when the dust would settle, there'd be property damage and carnage, people get hurt. And then at some point later, they would find him, and he would be all curled up in the floor, emotionally broken and full of regret. And again, emotions are fine. They're God-given. But when we allow our emotions to drive us, to go unchecked, well, you better watch out. You know, people destroy relationships because of unchecked emotions. People lose friends, lose jobs, lose their reputation. I mean, sometimes unchecked emotions cost people their lives. Now, I was thinking, this is years ago. My girls were young at the time. We were in the car. We were going somewhere. I don't remember. But a carload of boys, like college-age boys, they throw all their trash out the window and a Coke or something. It hit the hood of my car, splashed all over my windshield and everything. And so, friends, instant inside me, it just fired up my emotions. And I started thinking non-pastor things. I know you find that hard to believe, right? Then one of the boys stuck his hand out the window, flipped us off. My younger daughter, Alicia, she's like, "Hey, Dad, they're waving at us, you know." I got worked up. I started following them, chasing them. I'm thinking, there's three or four of them. They're small. I can handle them. You know? And after about 2 or 3 minutes, maybe, and it wasn't anything extreme, but I'm following them. They're trying to ditch me. And we got this high adrenaline action going on, you know, 30 mile an hour in the city. You know? Yeah. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. "What are you doing, Damon? How's this going to play out?" And so I started thinking through the options here. I mean, I'm very analytic that way. And so I was like, okay, well, one way would be I catch these boys, I whip them, I make the newspaper. That's a thing we used to get younger ones. Make the news, all right? pastor knocks out these trash-throwing vandals. You know, that'd be the headline. And I'm thinking, okay, that could happen. The other is they whip me. It's an embarrassing story. And then I thought another option, I might get a speeding ticket, wreck the car, hurt my kids, get arrested. But it was the fourth option that kind of dialed me down. What if one of the girls tells Cindy what I did? Hey, you got to understand things in the orders, you know. It was an internal battle between my emotions and God's Holy Spirit. That internal battle, we have got to win it. We've got to win it. You know, we're to be spirit-led and not emotionally led. You know, when you allow your emotions to rule, you better watch out. Things will get wild. You will go down the wrong road, and down is always, always down. And I don't know how it plays out in your life, but it plays out in all of our lives in some way. I mean, maybe it's one of those where you're heading home after work. You know in your heart that you need to engage with the kids, you know, do that a little more often, and you know, just talk and laugh and play together. But emotionally, you're fried. It's easier, isn't it, to go home and veg out, watch a little TV, scroll through social media, and just get lost, you know, play some mind-numbing game for 4 hours. Friends, emotions can rule you. They can ruin you. So, what are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do in your life when that moment comes? You know, maybe you said something or did something really stupid, and you know you should go apologize for it. You know, but pride, and that's a problem for all of us. Pride kicks in, and your emotions rule. And well, there's no apology going to come from you. They're going to have to take the first step. See, it just works against us. Our emotions. I mean, how's it play out in your life? You know, what's it? When you start feeling those emotions that are saying do this, and you know you should do something else, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I find it really sad. I've watched people, just because they can't apologize for something, they bust it up. What do you do when somebody makes you angry? You know you shouldn't lash out, but instead of filtering your anger, you just explode. I know how this goes. It's like, well, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind and let them know. Friends, the Apostle Paul said you got to win this battle. He understood the battle that takes place. It's something we all deal with. He says, I want to do what's good, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. Friends, how many times do you let your emotions rule you, and you end up doing all kinds of things that we know are not right, we know are not God-honoring, but we do them anyway? You know, Paul would later write in Galatians, he says, let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will not satisfy the desires of the human nature. For what our human nature wants is opposed to what the Spirit wants, and what the Spirit wants is opposed to what our human nature wants. These two are enemies, and this means that you cannot do what you want to do. Samson, he's emotionally driven. He's allows his emotions to take him, instead of allowing the spirit to take him, he pursues the Philistine woman who worshiped false gods. He throws this big party. It's a bachelor party that he's throwing. The bachelor party is going to kind of segue into a wedding. But the bride-to-be, she is Philistine. And so there are lots of Philistines at his party. And scripture says that 30 of the Philistine men, these are enemies that God's called Samson to deliver them from, that these guys are drinking. And then these guys decide they're going to have a contest. That's what guys do when they get together, by the way. And so these guys are trying to figure out, well, what are we going to do? And Samson goes, I got one for us. I've got a riddle, and let's see if you guys can solve it. And then it's like, well, let's make this a lot of fun. We're going to put a wager on it, you know. And so Samson makes this stupid bet. He bets these 30 Philistines that they can't figure out his riddle. And he says, I'm going to give you 7 days to do it. See, 7 days, the party will be over. In 7 days, there's going to be a wedding. You know, and the wager, he decides, will be 30 sets of clothing, which would have been very expensive for that time. And here's the riddle. He says, out of the eater, something to eat, out of the strong, something sweet. And you're going, well, what are they talking about here? Remember last week, we talked about the lion that he killed with his bare hands. And then later, he comes by and he sees the carcass. Must have been months later, because now it's just bones. And he can tell that bees have built a hive inside, and it's full of honey. He breaks his Nazirite vow. He eats some of the honey, takes some of it out of a dead animal. Problematic for him, because he's Nazirite. Samson is talking about that. It says, for 3 days, they could not give the answer. The Philistine guys, they're stumped. They're losing the bet. And so they finally go to Samson's fiance and they threaten her. You know, they're like, you need to find out the answer to the riddle for us, or we're going to burn down your home. And then we're going to kill you and your family. See, this is getting pretty serious here. So she uses her greatest weapon against Samson. Tears. Some of you were thinking something else, weren't you? She cried for several days, scripture says. Oh, Samson, oh, you just can't believe. I really need, if you love me, you'll tell me the answer to your riddle. Oh, please, Samson. And finally, he caves in. And he tells her the answer. Scripture says, before the sun set on the seventh day, the men of the town said to him, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson's furious that they figured out the riddle. And I think he's mad because he knows his fiance betrayed him at this point. He feels like these Philistine boys cheated. And so he responds to the whole situation. It's raw emotion with him. Instead of being led by God's spirit, he's driven by his emotions, and he lets his anger control him and take over. Scripture says, then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of everything, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he returned to his father's home. Samson kills 30 innocent people. He uses his God-given strength in an ungodly way. Samson lost the bet. He left the party. He goes on this killing spree. He brings the clothes back. He settles his bet. And then he leaves the bride at the altar and he storms home. The story gets even wilder. You know, you can't make this stuff up. It says, and Samson's wife was given to one of his companions who had attended him at the feast. Now, I'm not sure about the details, but here's what we know. Samson's fiance, and I know you're going to go, well, it says wife. Okay, different term back then, all right? She's a fiance, as we would know it at this point. She marries the best man. It's a soap opera, you know. Samson storms home. He cools off, finally. And then he heads back. His plan, he's going to make amends with his fiance. When he gets there, he finds out she's married someone else. The boy goes crazy. He sets fire to all their fields. He burns down their crops. It's a crazy, crazy story. You'll have to read it. But basically, he takes a torch. He ties it to the tails of 300 foxes. And so you got 300 torches, you know, going around. He releases them. It burns their fields down. Now the Philistines are furious. They're letting their emotions get involved, and things are escalating. You know, they're angry. They blame the woman because she told Samson that she had given up it felt like it was all put in motion. They burned down her home. They kill her. They kill her family. Everyone's emotions are going wild. They're unchecked. Friends, emotionally driven people are unpredictable, dangerous, and at times will do ungodly things. You know, emotionally driven people will do things that come with a very high cost. They'll travel down dark roads sometimes. You know, for many, anger is the default emotion. You know, for instance, somebody embarrasses you. What happens? I mean, for some, I mean, not only are you embarrassed, but you get angry. You know, you let your emotions begin to rule. Well, I'll show them. You know, they'll be sorry the day they ever did that to me. Have you ever stubbed your toe and then kicked the thing that you tripped over just for good measure? Stupid boards, you know. I had a buddy, this is no joke, there were a bunch of old two-by-fours, big pile of them, and he tripped over them, and so he kicked the pile, drove the nail all the way through his foot. Ooh. Had to go to the emergency room. Friends, when anger rules, we all do dumb things. I was thinking about, so what's Samson so angry about? Samson's the one that pursued the wrong woman. He's the one that decided he was going to marry her. Samson's the one that ignored his parents' advice. He broke his vows with God. I mean, Samson's the one that made a ridiculous bet with the Philistines over this silly riddle. He's the one that gave the answer away. He's the one that left his fiance at the altar. He's the one that killed 30 innocent men to pay off his debt. He's the one that burned down the field with the 300 crazy foxes. Samson's mad at the world. But here's the reality. Most of the mess, most of what he's angry about, is his fault. You know, a lot of people who are angry at the world, angry at this or that, you know, pick your poison. But a lot of people that are upset about that stuff, the fact is, That anger, you know, angry at your spouse, angry at the economy, angry at the government, angry at a coworker, your employer, your boss. In reality, they ought to be angry at themselves. Does that sound familiar? You know, I can't believe I didn't get the promotion. You're mad. But maybe you're mad at yourself. You know, because you know why you didn't get the promotion. You know you showed up to work a lot of times late. You know you lost your temper too many times, you know, unloaded on a coworker. You know you badmouthed the boss. You know you haven't given your best effort at work, and now it's costing you something that you really, really want. But really you're mad at yourself. I can't believe this is happening. You know, God, why are you allowing this? And the truth is, you are where you are because of unwise choices. Someone needs to hear this. At some point, you got to own it. At some point, you got to quit being driven by your emotions. It is a battle, friends, and if you do not win this battle, it will beat you down. You got to defer to God and allow God's Holy Spirit to start leading you in your life. So at this point in the story, the Philistines, they finally formed a posse, basically. They're going to hunt Samson down. It's interesting. Samson's own people turn him over to the Philistines. But superhuman strength he's got, right? He breaks free. And with the jawbone of a donkey, he kills 1,000 Philistines. UFC on steroids here. One man war. Then Samson said, with the donkey's jawbone, I've made donkeys of them. With the donkey's jawbone, I've killed 1,000 men. This is easy to miss. Samson's full of pride here. First of all, he's taking credit for this feat. He's killed 1,000 men now. Well, God gave him the strength. He misused it, but God gave him the strength. He's also being a smart aleck here. And he says, I've made donkeys of them. He's really, the Hebrew here is, let's just say it's more descriptive that way. He's making a point. You know, pride's something we deal with. You know, look at me. Look what I did. Do you like me now? Did I do enough to impress you? You know, pride, it's born out of insecurities most of the time. You know, when you don't know who you are in Jesus Christ, pride is one of the first things that'll take you down. You know, Scripture says over and over, you know, that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, pride, you know, it comes before the fall. You know, you let pride get you, it'll mess you up. And there are two sides to pride. You know, look at me. Look what I've done. Me, 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 me. But the flip side is, well, I'm not asking for help. I'm not going to let anybody see that I'm weak, that I struggle. They're both pride issues. Okay? Pride is a battle. You know, we live in this society that's all about winning, you know, that's very meistic. Me, 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 me. Life's about me. It's all about me. And when it's all about me, it's easy to be driven by your emotions. Very, very easy to be driven by your emotions. Samson, He has this divine potential. Samson's anointed. But he continues to self-destruct. And there comes a point when you're reading this story, you wonder, is this boy going to get it together or not? I mean, he's a mess. At some point, you have to lay down your emotions before God. I mean, some of you need to say, today's the day. You know, I need help. I need God's Spirit to lead me because I'm messing stuff up. You know, I need forgiveness in my life. Maybe that means you got to go apologize. You know, catch your spouse, your child, a parent, boss, coworker, neighbor, you know, friend. I don't know. But you just need to ask for forgiveness. And then make a commitment to be Spirit-led. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, not your emotions, but God's Spirit. There is potential greatness in you when you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ and allow God's Holy Spirit to guide you in every single area of your life. Every area, not just you go, well, I'll give him some. No, all areas of your life. And I know as I say that, for some of you, you're going, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. You know, you don't know what I'm involved in, what I'm doing. Friends, here's what I do know. Emotions will take you down some dark roads. You know how I know that? I've been there. I mean, some of you may be thinking, yeah, but there's no recovery for me. There's no way out of this. You are wrong. You are wrong. If you acknowledge your need before God, if you acknowledge your sin, your struggle, it's a new day. It's a new day. And just one final thought here. If you let your needs drive you toward God, God will meet your deepest needs. And that's what happens to Samson. Samson, he's killed 1,000 men. Public enemy number one. He's on the run. He's out in the desert trying to get away. And so we find him. He's hiding out in the desert. And he's struggling. He's struggling. I mean, the fact is that he's fighting for his life at this point. And you've got to see where his need just drives him to his knees here. You know, God began to speak to him through the problems he's going through. So Scripture says, because he was very thirsty, he cried out to the Lord, "You have given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" So he's hiding out. He's physically weak. His strength is waning. He's thirsting to death, literally, about to die. It says, "Then God opened up the hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. When Samson drank, his strength what? And he was revived." Samson's needs drive him to his knees. He humbles himself before God. He acknowledged God had given him the victory. In other words, God gave him the strength to do some of the stuff. He acknowledges this. And then he prays, and God hears and answers his prayers. Even though he's made this mess. You know, we're told that his strength returns, he's revived. It's kind of mind-blowing, because you're like, well, why would God help him? He's a mess. But here's the deal. If you surrender to God completely, holy, obediently, if you allow God's Holy Spirit to lead you, the power of Christ will revive you and make you strong. Give you peace. Give you hope, encouragement, direction. I mean, I could go on and on. But it starts when you surrender. You're going to be emotionally led or spirit led in your life? Something you got to figure out. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you. God, all of us here today, there's probably some area in our life that we're allowing our emotions to dictate what we do, what we say, where we go. God, we lay that down before. Just show us a better way. God, may your Holy Spirit just whisper. Just show us what direction. Show us where we need to bow a knee, Lord. Help us to be honoring in all we say and do, Lord. Show us a better way. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said. Just remain seated. Allow this song to minister to you, and then we'll celebrate in communion.